This episode of 3GT is brought to you by TGT, Tattoos Gone Today. Are you regretting those tattoos of your youth? Are those tattoos you got while serving in the service starting to sag? Tattoos Gone Today uses the latest in laser technology to help clear your complexion of even the most complex detrimental dermatological decisions. Call today for your consultation. Tattoos Gone Today is not a real company. There's no number to actually call. We're making a joke just in case you couldn't tell. Welcome to 3GT, a podcast where a pastor, parishioner, and professor have lively conversations on practical Christian living from a Reformed perspective. For more information, visit our website at 3GT.fm. Welcome to another episode of 3GT. My name is Aaron Sams. I'm here with Kyle Borg and Barry York. And today we are going to record an episode that we had no intention of recording. We just decided to start talking and to see what happened. And gentlemen, I want to know what's up with tattoos. Do we have liberty as Christians to get them? And I would like to hear your thoughts about that. But before I do that, I want to know if either of you actually have any tattoos. I do not happen to have any tattoos. I already have enough moles and freckles all over my body. I've decided not to try to add to that by adding additional ink to my body. But what do you got? I want to know.
It might be interesting, Aaron, to connect the dots and see what picture comes out.
There you go. That can be my tattoo. And we'll connect it and see if it's like a griffin or something exciting, mythical animal or something like that. That's what I would imagine that it would be turned into.
So rather than your body being a blank canvas, your body is a sky of constellations. And now you can just connect them all.
I like it. And just a dot to dot book. That's what keeps my children, you know, focused during church.
If you stand far enough away from Aaron, he's kind of like a Monet painting. You can start seeing pictures.
Yeah, people kind of squint at me in general, trying to like figure out what's going on with me. But if you squint hard enough, you can start to see, you know, the shapes coming together with all my moles and freckles.
Forget Monet. You're an ink blot, aren't you?
Oh, there you go. Yes, I'm a walking Rorschach.
What do you see, Aaron?
I don't want to know the answer to that. Guys, I get the feeling you're dodging my question here, which makes me very, very curious now.
Yeah, Barry. So, Barry is dodging your question.
I have no scars, or I have no tattoos. I have plenty of scars on my body, but not tattoos.
No?
Nope, no tattoos.
No family crest emblazoned on your chest or anything like that?
Nope.
You know, on a brief side note, talking about emblazoned crests on the chest, so I was reading a while ago an article on why Teddy Roosevelt was the most interesting president in the history of the United States. And the one that I like the most, actually, I don't know if you knew this, Teddy Roosevelt was shot at point blank range as he was getting ready to go give a speech. And he was shot point blank and he went up and gave an hour plus speech while he was bleeding. And he commented to the crowd, "I don't know if you know the gravity of what's going on. I've just been shot, but it takes more than one bullet to stop a bull moose."
That's what he was candidating for, the bull moose. Didn't the, right, exactly. The shot went through his speech too, right? And the papers were in his chest pocket and they went through his...
The bullet went through. But
go ahead.
My point with that is that Teddy Roosevelt is the only known president of the United States to have a tattoo, and it was rumored that he had the Roosevelt crest tattooed on his chest.
Oh, wow. Mm. That's interesting. Now, there's an urban legend that Mr. Rogers had tattoos, that he had like served in the Marines, was could kill people with his bare hands. And that the reason he always wore long sleeve shirts and sweaters on his show is because he was tattooed up from the wrists all the way up the arm. And that's actually completely and utterly false. It is not true at all.
But that's one of those.
Yeah, one of those lovely urban legends that floats around. But I thought I'd just dispel that one right away, and just in case anybody had heard that one too.
I thought that was the reason he wore those mother knitted sweaters that he
wore. That's the urban legend. Totally not true. Sorry to disappoint you.
Talk about avoiding the question. We haven't heard from Kyle on this score yet.
On what? I'm sorry. What was the question?
Do you have tattoos?
plural or singular?
Or tattoo. Either one. Okay. Either one.
Okay. In an effort for full transparency, you heard it here first. I do not have a tattoo. I have multiple tattoos, and depending on the way you count, it would either be 3 tattoos or 6 tattoos.
I count on my fingers. How many would that be?
Oh, that's intriguing.
We'll go with 3. So that,
okay,
so that
if
I
use
totally
my toe, if
points.
I use my toes, if yeah. I use my toes, is it 6?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
So where are these tattoos, Kyle?
Yes, I'm curious.
Oh boy. All right. I have a tattoo on my upper right arm, and that is
Mom.
Yes, I love Mom. Yeah. No, I wish it was. I think, you know, she freaked out enough when I got my first tattoo. I don't think she would have found that flattering at all. She would have found it highly manipulative. But I've got a tattoo on my upper right arm of Greek, and it says doulos Christou, which means slave of Christ. So primarily taken from Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant or a bondservant, a slave of Jesus Christ. On my left shoulder blade, I have a Celtic-styled cross, and around the cross are the solas of the Protestant Reformation in Latin. So around the cross is solus Christu, Christ alone, sola fide, faith alone, sola gratia, grace alone, and sola scriptura, scripture alone. And then through the center of the cross is soli Deo gloria, for the glory of God alone. Now, just so our listeners know, I got that one quite some time ago. But if you can bear a little story, the guy that was giving me the tattoo was in a particularly good mood. And he said, you know, if you want any body piercings, I'll throw a body piercing in for free with your tattoo. And this is no longer true of me. When I joined the military, I had to lose all my piercings. But I, in my prime, had 6 earrings, and I had my eyebrow pierced. And when he offered a free body piercing, I let him pierce my tongue. Which lasted 4 days because my tongue was so swollen, I couldn't eat. And when I was trying to eat a cheeseburger, I bit the barbell in half, and it hurt so bad I took it out. So... I know Barry's opinion of me is plummeting right now.
I think a lot of people's opinion of you are plummeting right now. They're never gonna listen again.
Look, I'm one of the lowly, okay? Just and then I have a third tattoo. And
well, wait a minute. I'm still trying to you've thrown a Reformed Presbyterian into such a loop. Combining the solas with a cross. I just can't quite fathom that.
To be fair, the cross is a little truncated, so it could just be a plus sign. And you love mathematics, so maybe I could appeal to your mathematics side.
My question is, did they spell them all correctly? Like, that's...
Yeah, they did, surprisingly. You know, that's a fair question. It's on my back. I've never actually seen it with my own 2 eyes. So, Barry, when we're at Synod this summer, would you mind checking my tattoo out for me and see if
please,
I spell it correctly?
Please don't do that to me.
And then I have a final tattoo. It's down my left rib cage. And if you're familiar with some of the history of the church, each of the 4 Gospels has often had a certain representation. Sometimes taken from the book of Ezekiel, the 4 winged creatures that the prophet sees. But in antiquity, the Gospel of Matthew is represented by a winged man. The Gospel of Mark is represented by a winged lion. The Gospel of Luke is a winged ox. And the Gospel of John is a winged eagle, which kind of a winged eagle is an eagle. And so I actually have... I have those pictures. I drew them, and then I had them tattooed down my left rib cage.
My wonders never cease. So, how big are these things? Are they 2 inches tall, or?
So the one on my upper arm, the doulos Christou, is it's just script. That one's not huge.
No, I'm talking about these winged creatures on you. How big are they?
Oh, okay. So. Hold on. Now, let me get my ruler out here.
When you drew them, did you connect your own freckle dots? Is that how these came about? Or did you have to like draw them on paper first? Because I'm getting kind of excited about my connected dots here.
I wish it was something as mystical as connecting freckle dots. I drew them out on paper first. Each of the winged creatures, Barry, is 3.5 inches by 3.5 inches. And then you have four of them. They're stacked on top of each other. So I'm really bad at math. You're the mathematician, but 3.5 times
over
four.
Over a foot long?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's 14, by the way.
Wow. Thank you.
All right. So,
hey Barry, can we still be friends?
Oh, certainly.
I'm now Barry's ministry project. That's the way he's looking at me right now.
So, Kyle, I'm curious. How old approximately were you when you got him? How long has it been since you've had your last one? And would you do it again?
Oh, Aaron. So I started getting tattoos in 2003, I think was my first tattoo. Would I do it again? This sounds weird. The very first tattoo I got, the tattoo artist said, you know, why are you getting this? What's this all about? And I said, I want a tattoo. And he started laughing at me and he said, well, there's kind of an addiction to tattoos. Once you get one, you're almost guaranteed to come in for a second one. And I laughed at him and thought, no, there's no way that's going to happen. Personally, and I'm sure you guys are going to make me defend myself here in a moment, I really enjoy tattoos. Would I get another one? If my wife allowed me to get another one, I would get another one. But she's the one I've got to convince.
Oh. Wow. So have you, when you get these as a young man, that's one thing. But as you get older and start, expanding, are these tattoos the same size as when you first got them?
Well, Barry, you are correct to point out that I'm expanding. I've been lifting weights and I am getting much stronger than I've ever been. It's my midlife crisis. So the tattoos at this point are all the same size. They're not wrinkly or saggy yet.
Okay. So one of the things people are going to wonder, and it's actually interesting that we got onto this conversation somehow, but inevitably when we do like at a college conference where we have a time, or a youth conference where we have a time where the young people can ask pastors and elders questions. Sometimes we'll have a panel up front and just take cards with questions on it. Inevitably, someone asks, what about tattoos? So, Kyle, you've obviously thought about this maybe more than I have, certainly more than I have. So.
I don't know that I've thought about it. No, just kidding.
So how do you just? Of course, there is one verse in the Bible that addresses this subject. That would be in Leviticus 19:28, where it says, "You shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead, nor make any tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord." So I'm sure you've seen that verse before, and
I think that's his next tattoo.
Barry threw a curveball at me. Does it really say that? Just kidding. I know that.
I know you know that. So anyway, how have you quote justified this or thought through this?
So Leviticus 19 is part of, in my mind, and I'm willing to defend it, kind of. Leviticus 19 is part of that holiness code, what we would regard as the ceremonial law, which set the people of Israel apart from the other nations, ceremonial or political, however you want to look at it. You'll notice that in the context, there's a number of instructions that are being given to the people of Israel. So in verse 26, you shall not eat any flesh with blood in it. You shall not interpret omens or tell fortunes. In verse 27, you shall not round off the hair on your temples or mar the edges of your beard. And then in verse 28, you shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourselves. I am the Lord. And I know that there's all kinds of questions, even in our own reform circles. We all agree that the ceremonial law has been fulfilled in Jesus. that we are no longer bound to those ceremonies and rites. Colossians chapter 2, those were things that were shadowed, but the substance has come. And so we wouldn't think that those particular laws that were given to Israel as a worshiping people, as a religious people, that were only particular to them, we don't think those are continuing. And by and large, we agree with the political laws expired with the nation of Israel. And I know that a lot of debate comes in what I'm about to say, but except by what general equity may require. And I'm not going to get into all of a reformed understanding of the law on this one, but I do think that what is being said there in verse 28 is particular to the ceremonial law of God. I think commentators will support this, that really what's being spoken of there would not necessarily be tattoos in the way that we think of tattoos, but they were markings similar to our tattoos that people put on their body in honor of their idols. And it was a pagan worship ritual to mark your body in the worship of your deity. And part of this holiness code of the Lord telling his people, you need to be different and come out from among the nations, you know, just as you are not to have any cuts on your body for the dead, which was also likely a religious act of worship for pagans. He's saying, you know, don't tattoo yourselves either in the way that the Gentiles and the pagans tattoo themselves as an act of worship. So when we come to the New Testament, if I can just state it as bluntly as I can, I don't think that law is applicable. I don't think that Leviticus 19:28 is forbidding tattoos as we have them now. If I were to argue against tattoos, maybe I can put it this way. Leviticus 19:28 is not the passage I would go to. So that's, as I thought through it, I think that verse does not speak to the issue.
So Kyle, Barry was talking about, you know, at some of the college and high school retreats, that question always comes up. So if you were, let's say you were the speaker at that retreat and that question came up from a young high school or college age student and they said, should I get a tattoo? What would be your advice or response to them?
I think there are a number of things to be thought through with that. One, you do need to realize that when you get a tattoo, that unless you have the laser surgery, which, by the way, is increasing in frequency, and there's also attempts being made to create a white ink that can actually be put over your tattoos to get rid of them. So they're not quite as permanent as they were 20, 30 years ago, but for all intents and purposes, they are permanent. You will be permanently marking your body. And so I think that needs to be weighed. That needs to be thought through. I think there might be some principles of wisdom in that. I personally could not lay it down as a thus saith the Lord, that here we have a precept and you are in sin if you tattoo your body. There might be any number of reasons where it's unwise to do that. I would encourage young people to think through the fact that you're permanently marking your body with something. Think through the permanence of it. Think through what it is that you're putting on your body. And I would put honoring parents into this. There are some parents who are so offended by tattoos that I don't know that some certain children could maintain the fifth commandment while getting a tattoo. I mentioned earlier, my mom freaked a little bit and she did, but my parents both recognized, you know, they did not take offense at it. They did not feel that I was dishonoring them or sinning against them. My mom just hates tattoos and was like, that's disgusting. So, you know, it was something that I felt that I could do. And I think my parents would agree with this. I could do while honoring them. That they didn't take it as a dishonor to them for me to get a tattoo. I do think that needs to play into it. You know, there's certain issues like that. So it's not like I'd say, oh yeah, absolutely, go get a tattoo. It's great. But I also wouldn't, I guess I'm not comfortable saying absolutely not. You should not get a tattoo.
One of the things that we have to always keep in mind when these issues come up is, you know, the gospel is a gospel to the heart, and you know, what we do with our flesh ultimately doesn't save us. You know, that we can't we're not more holy based on how, in one sense, we treat our flesh. So I think we always have to keep that in mind. This isn't necessarily a, quote, a gospel issue, but more of in the area of, you know, is this a the adiaphora, as the theologians like to call it, things indifferent, or where Christian freedom, liberties can come in. I think it does fall, as Kyle's talking about there. One of the other cautions I would add is to go back to something Kyle said when he was discussing Leviticus 19 and the idea of general equity. Clearly, the Lord there is telling his people, I don't want you acting like the pagans around you and doing rituals that are going to lead you into pagan religions, false religions, idolatry. And there's a lot of tattoos out there that our young people should not be getting. Tattoos with symbols of death, symbols of, you know, rock bands or other false belief systems. You shouldn't get a communist leader tattooed on your, you know, an image of a communist leader tattooed on you. So there's lots and lots of things like that that I think we need to be aware of that's out there in that whole world. And really what's generated a lot of the popularity of tattoos in our day. I remember I was talking with one of my children years ago about he really wanted to develop skateboarding and be involved more in skateboarding. But the particular club in the community where we lived, it was awful. Just the images on the skateboards, the music they played, the things that were going on in the skateboard club. There was no way I could let my child go and be involved in that. So I think there's a lot of cautions that would have to come as well with this. It's not just simply a matter of whether I get a tattoo or not, but being careful not to really do something that ends up ultimately being worldly. I mean, a lot of young people aren't going to necessarily want to go out and get a tattoo of the four images of the gospel on their rib cage. So,
which, by the way, for the record, I read that in a Puritan commentary. So before, it was actually a Puritan that first brought up this imagery to me. So I'm falling back on that.
Yeah, it's historic. So, it's not hermeneutics that we're talking about here.
Well, Barry, maybe we can encourage positive and proper tattooage by perhaps getting some photographs of Kyle's tattoos. We could put them on the on the webpage from this episode, and those who are interested in emulating our example here, they can take that to their local artist.
Maybe we should just make this a special audio edition or a video edition of.
Oh, there we go. Why are we not filming this?
You want me to just rip my shirt off on video? You know, but to go back to also, I think another very important thing, you know, motivation really in some ways needs to be taken into an account as well. Mm-hmm. I remember R. Scott Clark, who's a professor at Westminster, California, wrote an article maybe 6-7 years ago against tattoos, and he grounded it in a post. He said the problem is, and the reason why tattoos are popular, is in our postmodern world there is so much fluidity, there is very little permanence. And he said his belief is that in our postmodern culture, getting a tattoo is running after something permanent in an ever-changing world. And I don't know that I agree with that, but it was an interesting perspective. And he got into a debate with an individual, and this brings me to really my point of motivation. And the individual said, look, I'm not looking for permanence in a fluid world, but my tattoos are my identity. And for a lot of people, that is the way they function. And that is just unchristian. Our identity is in Jesus. Our identity is in union with him, right? These tattoos that I have, I would not say this is my identity. And so I think that needs to be in there as well. I often hear young people really defining themselves by their tattoos. One other thing that I would add, and then you guys can continue the pig pile on me, hog pile, whatever it's called, I do think part of loving our neighbor is realizing that Christians have a disagreement on this issue. And it's never been my intent to create unnecessary offense. All my tattoos are actually in places that are always covered. I swim with a shirt on. So I never, these tattoos are seen by very few people. My wife and children might be about the only people that really see my tattoos. And part of that is intentional, knowing that this could be a potential stumbling block to certain people. And I don't think that's necessarily definitive. There's lines that you need to draw. You know, there's some people who are going to be offended because your ears are pierced. So does that mean I can't wear earrings? Not me personally. I got rid of all those. But there is an element here that I think loving our neighbor, you know, are you showing this off? This idea, a lot of young people take our liberty as Christians as a means to flaunt. Mm. And as with all things, tattoos included, this is not, scripture, I think, speaks so much against flaunting your Christian liberty and doing it just because you can do it. And I just want to see the 60, 70, 80 year olds in church, you know, oh, look, that young guy's got a tattoo and I'm going to scream my freedom in Christ, liberty in Christ. Liberty in Christ also means that we have liberty not to do certain things. And so that's actually one of the reasons I've never gotten a very visible tattoo.
Yeah, I've sometimes, you know, I walk around Pittsburgh and I feel like I'm the only guy without a tattoo sometimes. And I'm kind of curious when, you know, 30 years from now, when everybody's got them, it's going to be cool to not get them anymore. And then people will be flaunting them not having tattoos. They're like, oh, yeah, look at me. I'm tattoo free. And they could fall into the same trap. But if we're talking about a heart issue, I mean, that could very potentially be an actual temptation for somebody. They're like, oh, look at this, you know. Yeah. I don't have the things that you have, and therefore I'm different, and I'm going to show it off and flaunt it. So
well, one of the things,
so in 30 years the role is going to be reversed.
Yeah, well, one of the things I just want to say very clearly, publicly, loudly is no, children, my children, you may not get one.
Barry, I think you and I should just take a field trip down to the South Side. The South Side, those of you who don't live in Pittsburgh, is a place with numerous tattoo locations, and we can we'll go get like the RPTS Shepherd's Crook, put, you know, emblazoned on our shoulders or something. Oh, that's a good point, Kyle. Are there places that would be more desirable or not desirable to get a tattoo? I've never even stepped foot in a tattoo place, so I wouldn't even know. But are there things that should be avoided, or what are things to look for if you are, you know, if you want to go down this road? I mean, are there like types of people you should find, or is it simply an artistic consideration? Is it a matter of hygiene? What do you look for?
Man,
where are the tattoo parlors in Winchester?
I thought in my back porch. I run one out of the parsonage here. So no, I don't. I thought, Aaron, originally you were going to ask where on the body, because I will say the rib cage is the most painful place on the body to get a tattoo, and it hurt. But as far as places, tattoo laws are governed by local and state ordinances. There are no federal ordinances for it. And so if one feels inclined and can justify it, and they want to get a tattoo, you know... all places that are doing tattoos today are going to have some certification from the state, unless it is in the basement of some creepy house. Then obviously stay away. But it is a relatively hygienic process. You know, by law, most states, I think, require, they walk you through the whole process. They show, you know, here's the needles. Let me open them from the sterile package. They're required to wear latex gloves. And so all of that is very evident. I would maybe just encourage people to check out online reviews. I think you can get a good sense of what the clean, best, most artistic artists would be. And I'm actually feel like I'm giving people advice now on how to go get tattoos, and I'm really, really going to get myself in trouble. So
perhaps I'll edit this part out. I'll let you know. Well, guys, thank you. This has been a fun, just spontaneous conversation. We'll continue to just divert from our schedule and have more conversations like this. But Kyle, thanks for your transparency, and thank you for not wearing transparent clothing. I appreciate just hearing your perspective on that. This is something I've never done, mostly because I've never like thought of something that I would actually want to have tattooed, not because I've been necessarily opposed to them. It's just I can't think of anything I would actually want to get, but it's very helpful to hear your process and your rationale.
I'm going to be in Pittsburgh in 2 weeks. If you want to go to Southside with me, we can hook you up with something.
All right. Now we're talking.
Get a tattoo so you have to put your arms together to make a whole picture.
Oh. Well, thanks for joining us on yet another edition of 3GT. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on our website at 3GT.fm.